Magazine and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A Boeing cargo plane had to make an emergency landing in Miami yesterday after suffering an engine malfunction.
Mayday, mayday, Giant 095, heavy engine fire.
That's from liveatc.net. There were no injuries. Snow is coming down and the roads are icy. Drivers in Ashland, Kentucky tell us.
Slick.
Yeah, real slick. Yeah.
You don't have to come out, don't come out.
Yes. They're not in good shape, but guys, you need to stay in as much as you can or taking precaution.
CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns is in Manchester, New Hampshire, ahead of Tuesday's primary. The challenge, she says, for former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley.
She can appeal to independent and undeclared voters here, but can she get some Republicans to turn out enthusiasm for her through the stretch is a question that remains to be seen.
Haley, former President Trump, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis are all campaigning in New Hampshire today. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
WRJN.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is closer to expanding the definition of an illegal strip search after the Assembly gave final legislative approval to a bill yesterday. The measure was put in motion after a community uproar in Soaring 2 years ago. A school official there made six teenage girls strip to their underwear, which for now is not against state law. Parents could pull their kids out of discussions over gender identity or racism in school under a Republican bill that passed the Wisconsin Assembly yesterday. Democrats like Representative Melissa Ratcliffe say there's more to it than that.
This bill will inflict psychological harm on LGBTQ students and is another salvo in a culture war that tries to turn fear and misunderstanding into political talking points.
Republicans say they're looking out for parents. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRJN News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. If you got some snow, you'll want to move it quick. Tonight and through Sunday, wind chills will be between 10 and 25 below. Warming centers in most communities are still running, providing a place for people to avoid the cold. You can call 211 to find the warming center closest to you. A reminder that temps could hit 40 next week with rain in the forecast. Two members of the Raymond School Board, Janelle Wise and Gwen Keller, are facing a special election on February 27th, following the certification of recall petitions. The recalls stem from the board's decision not to renew the contract for Principal Jeff Peterson, who alleges discrimination based on his sexual orientation. The Raymond Community for Truth and Transparency Committee collected over 600 signatures, prompting the special election. They say they want accountability in the school district. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WRJN News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Wisconsin battles the Hoosiers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the 11th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers host the Indiana Hoosiers at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin remains at the top of the Big Ten with a record of 13-4, 5-1 in the conference after losing to Penn State head coach Greg Gard.
We've grown a lot. We took on the schedule we did because we had an experienced team that we felt not only could handle it, but needed to be challenged.
NFL, it's the Packers and the 49ers. Saturday night in the divisional playoffs, Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, it's a great challenge for us. They're a really good defense. They got a really good offense as well, so they're a great team all around.
The 49ers' Nick Bosa comparing Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers.
A quarterback who does exactly what he's coached to do, which Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer and unbelievable, but he kind of went outside of the realm of coaching, and sometimes it's good when you have a guy who does what he's coached to do.
That's 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WRJN.
WRJN.
I'm Ian Balgest, Brittany Merlot. Cloudy and cold. Highs today hit near 15 degrees, but feel more like zero, with winds whipping up to 25 miles per hour. This could fling a few flurries our way tonight, as temperatures crash to near zero. But tomorrow morning, it'll be feeling more like 15 below. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of Civic Media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the Civic Media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News, talk, and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Matt Nair on air. So happy to have you along. Jane, Matt Nair coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Greg Bach, funny Greg Bach, is on the board this morning.
I'm so funny.
He is so funny. And we're delighted to have a special guest in studio for the next hour, my colleague and the host of his own program here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Pat Kreitlow. From Up North News Radio. Good morning, Pat. Thanks for sticking around.
And I'm not funny, but Greg Bach is. So. Good morning, Jay.
And don't you forget it.
We're all funny in our own way.
Yes.
Again, we've talked briefly once before, Pat, but I think you, along with Todd Albaugh, have an interesting perspective to share because you actually served in the Wisconsin legislature. Mm-hmm. So you have seen things up close and personal and have a better idea of how things work. Or shall we say lately, do not work.
Right.
What is your background? I know you had a long history in television, first of all.
Well, let's talk about that midlife crisis. For some people, it's an expensive divorce or an expensive car. For me, it was an expensive jaunt into politics. I was serving as the evening anchor at Channel 13 in Eau Claire. I'd been doing that for many years, coming up on a decade. Everybody knew me. I thought I was pretty well liked, but I just felt a need to do something different. And as soon as you declare as either a Democrat or a Republican, 50% of the people immediately said, I knew I never liked that guy.
There's a reason I never liked his news delivery. I knew it.
That's it. And so I decided that after the 2004 election cycle. You recall John Kerry and the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth.
Yes.
And everything. And I had a bit of a crisis that winter. I said, I don't think I can keep looking at the camera night after night and pretending that both sides are equal. They're not. And I just want so badly to come out of some of these stories and look right into the camera and say, you know, they're lying about that, right? You know, but you couldn't really fact check to the degree that you would like to, which sometimes is subtle but effective.
Yes.
And instead, I thought, well, maybe I can make more of a difference running for office. And so I challenged my incumbent state senator and won in 2006, served for a four-year term, was bounced in 2010 when Scott Walker and Act 10 and everything else came after that. Ran for Congress in 2012 against Sean Duffy. When we talk about all these gerrymandered maps and things, I'm proud to tell people every chance I get that the congressional maps are as gerrymandered as they are because of me. They had to completely reconfigure the 7th District to protect Sean Duffy, because he was only a freshman at the time. And had I challenged him under the old district lines, he would not have won re-election. But by the way, they moved counties around and in quite a dramatic way in some spots. He was able to protect his majority and hold on to that seat that Tom Tiffany now holds. Then I moved away for a little while, lived on a Caribbean island, and then came back and after a couple of other fits and starts, the opportunity to start Up North News came around. I've been doing that for 4 years. And then a little over a year ago came the opportunity to take that Up North News product and carry it on to morning radio. That's what's kept me on civic media at 6 a.m. for the past year or so.
Do you like those early mornings?
I do.
I do.
I didn't when I was a young new broadcaster working in Rice Lake and then in West Bend at WBKV. Those early hours were really hard. But as you can guess, for men of a certain age, like I say all the time, I'm getting up that early anyway. So
if
I'm getting up to pee, I may as well just go ahead and get ready for work and get a paycheck out of it. And yeah, it fits very naturally right now. I do enjoy it.
What I think is so interesting with what you just said, Pat, is I don't know that people ever think about this, but people who are news anchors who are delivering this information to you do exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. When you're reading this copy sometimes and you're saying, okay, this is accurate, but it is not all encompassing.
It is not as truthful as it could be.
As it could be. Mm-hmm. If it was a little deeper, if it was a little longer, and I think that peak of conscience speaks very highly of you.
And I think, again, media has changed in so many ways since back in 2004 that, especially on cable, but to another degree in other places, you do see people, news anchors, others being able to say just a bit more that is not editorializing, but is being a bit more truthful. As an example, you'll listen to mainstream, news reports now speak quite matter-of-factly about the fact that our legislative maps are gerrymandered. Now, back in 2011, when the maps were first drawn, we tried telling, news stations like this is
bad.
Criminal. This is bad. And they're like, well, we can't say that. That would look like we're judging the maps. Well, time has proven us right, but only now in their own vocabulary can they recognize what we knew from the get-go.
And it's frustrating, and it must frustrate you to know, and to see some of the big anchors, the ones on CNN and MSNBC and on Meet the Press, allow people to come on and never fact-check them. And, they say blatant falsehoods that anyone who's even paying a modicum of attention could say, you know what, that what you just said was a lie, and they let him get away with it.
Especially when you think you know the reporter better than that. Like Kristen Welker on Meet the Press has had a couple of instances already where I thought for sure she would stop somebody right there and say, I'm sorry, that's not true. They don't abort babies after they're born.
Thank you.
In one particular example, and they don't. And it's... for whatever reason, they don't want to lose their access or what. I don't know. It's so disappointing.
I think they are doing a disservice to their profession when you don't take advantage of that. And yeah, I understand the access and you want to be able to get the big interviews, but you're compromising your own integrity.
I've said several times on my show, and I'll say again, that while people, our default is that live is best. So if you can have a senator live, that's a good thing. I would contend that's no longer the case. And that if I were doing a show at a national level, I would let other people do the live interviews. And mine would be essentially the post-game show. Think of all those weekend shows that local stations do on the Packer game. You're not showing the Packer game live. You're playing back the tape and breaking it down.
Yes.
I would do just an all-tape show saying, well, now here was Ron Johnson on Fox News on Thursday. And here was... here was Congressman Gallagher, on MSNBC on Friday or whatever, and break it down. And I think a show like that could do extremely well if Tim Russert were still around.
Oh,
now nobody was better at live, but can you imagine him breaking down tape like that every week?
He would be brilliant. And it has been disappointing to see some of the people who have followed him and what they are now letting slide.
Oh, yes.
But what are you going to do? I guess all we can do is do what we can on our end.
I think that's where you have from civic media at a smaller level to some of these places at the larger level, although CNN just got rid of, reliable sources and all of that. We need more of that. We need, ombudsmen, at these newspapers. And I think we should never stop pushing all of these outlets to do better because nobody's perfect anyway. So they should welcome a little bit of oversight to help them make their product better and more palatable to a larger audience.
And we preach about this all the time, just about the importance of local newspapers. They're critical. They truly are critical purveyors of what's happening. If you want to know, what are we going to do if if no one's covering the school board, if no one's covering the common council meetings. That's how things can slide.
Especially people with credibility, as opposed to what we're seeing this week in Baltimore, where the new owner of the Baltimore Sun basically said, I'm a big business guy. You guys should be more like, you know, either Fox News or however he put it. I mean, just again, it's all about making money and eyeballs rather than, you know, holding people to account.
Yes.
You know, and just speaking, you know, speaking truth. It's just unconscionable what they're doing when you consider how important a source can be. And frankly, to bring it back to Up North News for a second, it reminds me that in this day and age, I think it's more important than ever that all media sources, newspapers, digital, otherwise, tell you exactly where they're coming from. And if you go to upnorthnewswi.com and you go to the About Us page, you're going to see that we love Wisconsin, but we're covering it with this set of values. For example, we feel like anybody threatening democracy, you know, should be called out, et cetera, et cetera. The reason we do that is that other places don't tell you their values. And so let's say people read the Baltimore Sun a year from now after that new owner is taken over. Some people will not know the biases that come into that. They won't know the values. And I know people, I have hired reporters who came from small newspapers where the audience was getting a skewed version of news, but they didn't know it. They didn't know it was because of the publisher's preferences or the whims of an advertiser or anything like that. I think that all these places should put those values up and then just be fact-based. Be fact-based and values-based. And it's like the conversations I still have in Chippewa Falls, where anybody of any political stripe can come up and say, hey, Pat, what's the deal with such and such? And they know that they may not agree with everything I say, but they know I will never lie to them about
it. It's going
to
be accurate.
It's going to be respectful. Exactly.
I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I'm glad Civic Media's, glad Sage has created this and Courier Newsroom with Up North News to allow all these kinds of conversations to continue.
Just a reminder as well, you can always download the Civic Media app that gives you access to all of our shows across all of our stations all over Wisconsin. So, Greg, you just go to your favorite app place and download the Civic Media app. And what is one of the best things about our Civic Media app?
It's free.
It is free. And you can call and you can text directly from the app, which is a very snappy feature.
And it's got nice colors, too.
It does have nice colors. 844-967-2789 if you ever want to call and or text. Or if you'd like to leave a comment on the live stream, if you're watching us on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. When we return, these are the days of our assembly. The soap opera continues. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. If you love walnuts, they've never tasted better than those baked in O&H Danish Bakery's Maple Walnut Kringle. O&H's blend of pure grade A Canadian maple syrup, cinnamon, and golden California walnuts is a fabulous filling. It's glazed and topped with toasted walnut pieces and drizzled with O&H's sweet icing. So be sure to pick one up this week. Enjoy oven fresh, scratch made Danish delights from O&H Danish Bakery in Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek.
Hi, this is Don Rosen. It's great to be welcomed back to WRJN to super serve the folks in Racine and in the surrounding communities every morning. We're talking with local guests who have lifestyle and important information to share with you. We'll have local news, weather, sports, and some good morning fun as well. So wake up with me weekday morning 6 to 8 on 1400 AM and 99.9 FM in Racine and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. WRJN, hometown radio, refreshed.
Say it with me, the Boxing Six. And you can catch every play. Every
news,
score,
talk,
every...
and sports for Racine and Kenosha. WRJN.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach is on the board and joining us live in our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, one of our colleagues. You can hear him across the network from 6 to 8 a.m. in the morning from Monday through Friday. A reminder as well, if you're a big music fan, Lou Regani's Music of the Stars, hand-selected playlists from his incredible collection of recorded music. You can catch Music of the Stars, if you're music fans, every Sunday from 7 a.m. to noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. As you may have noticed with the soap opera music that Greg Bach pulled for us, yes, these are the days of our assembly. Pat's article yesterday in Wisconsin Public Radio from Anya von Wachtendorck. Donk. I hope I didn't destroy that too badly. Talking about what's going on in the Wisconsin Assembly, it's interesting. It's the whoop whoop boing caucus.
Oh, it's such a soap opera, and not even a very good one. When I heard the theme just now, it took me back to when I would produce the new news. Judy Clark, my co-anchor, was the anchor at noon, and then at 12:30, everything at the TV station would stop because we were an NBC affiliate, and everybody would grab their little bag lunches or fast food or whatever, and everybody'd sit in the newsroom and look at the big monitor and watch Days of Our Lives because you want to know what was happening with Marlena or all the other characters there. Oh, it takes me back. And it was way more interesting and funny than what we're subjected to now in that big dome in Madison under the big top. It's a soap opera that shouldn't be, because again, not to sound too high and mighty, but some of us still believe in public service. And yet there's so many other people that just consider this performance art.
Yes.
And that's what we're seeing right now.
It's a game.
It's a game.
It's just a game. Mm-hmm. A small block of Assembly Republicans, of course, authored this resolution to try and get rid of Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator Megan Wolf. That came up again yesterday with one member of the block calling for the resignation of the Speaker pro tempore, Kevin Peterson. You'll remember Janelle Branchon, the Republican from Menominee Falls, who was a big backer of the widely debunked claims of election fraud in Wisconsin that also, just as a reminder, cost taxpayers $2 million, which found nothing. She rose repeatedly yesterday during standard business trying to move forward this resolution to impeach Wolf. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was in last week he did an interview, and he said, essentially, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. There was a very small window where, there was an opportunity to impeach Justice Protasiewicz. There was no window whatsoever to impeach Megan Wolf because, again, she did nothing wrong. They've come up with nothing substantive about 2020. So it is all performance art at this point, and like any other political cause that goes past its expiration date, and starts to smell, there are people within her own ranks now that are saying, get over it, move on. And there are few things more embarrassing than if you're a state legislator, somebody in your own caucus who just will not stop beating a dead horse, forgive the analogy. And it makes the rest of you look bad. And look, I don't agree with, so much of what the Republican caucus does, but that doesn't mean that you have to allow this kind of a performance to go on. I do kind of feel bad for them that way. It is a crisis of their own making, but I still feel bad that they've got this one person who just won't let go.
And she's making money on it somewhere.
Yeah.
She's getting something
or
out of this.
Or fame or attention or whatever it is. But what it isn't dealing with any of the real problems Wisconsinites have, the challenges before us, the opportunities. Look, even if you just want to do Republican orthodoxy, if you want to spend all that time saying, we got to cut more taxes, we got to make the tax code flatter, which we definitely do not, but at least that has some credibility to it, as opposed to continuing to lie about election results.
Branchen was ruled out of order and then not recognized for the rest of the afternoon. Talking to reporters, Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August, a Republican from Lake Geneva, called her efforts, quote, a big show for the cameras, unquote.
It is. And having served briefly as president pro tem of the Senate, it's no fun to be up there with the gavel and have one person want to make it about themselves. You are constantly invoking this rule or subjecting yourself to, you know, appealing the chair and all of that. And while it all is part of an orderly process, it is, again, taking time away from what a legislator's job should be about.
Actually doing something on behalf of their constituents.
Doing something.
That kind of used to be it.
Yeah, it used to be. But what you're not seeing in both Madison and Washington right now is anything substantive on tax relief here. You know, Governor Evers has proposed real middle class tax relief.
Yep.
You're not seeing that. You're not seeing anything substantive on health care, Medicaid expansion, infrastructure, you name it. And again, we still have billions sitting there that Republicans, you know, the word I always use is it's a heist. They want to lift that out, either give it to voucher schools or give it to tax cuts to millionaires. And that's where we want to try to keep our focus, not in the other games that they're trying to play.
I still maintain it's Robin Voss's money and we just get to live here.
Right now.
It's Robin Voss's $4 billion and he knows how that money should be best spent. And that's just the way it's going to be.
It is until the maps change, until there's a legislature that's more responsive, that has more competitive races. This continues to be the legacy. This is the Tea Party legacy of 2010, is the extreme nature of these maps, which led to the extreme nature of this legislature.
We have Lisa from Oconomowoc on the line. Lisa, we just have a couple of minutes left. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yes, hello. Hopefully you can hear me. Two things. So I invite two things. One is to go to Janelle Branch's Facebook page and comment on her ridiculousness. And secondly, I would encourage anyone to run against her in Menominee Falls. Please.
Lisa, what are you doing? Maybe I know you're in Oconomowoc. Have you ever thought of moving to the falls?
No, I'm not going to move to the falls, but she is in my county, and she's just one horrible representative. So I sure hope somebody runs against her.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you or some friends of yours find somebody, and you may not like to hear the money end of this thing, but the moment you can get, say, 10 of your friends to all say, we're going to give the first $100 or $500, that candidate's going to say, okay, I'm not starting from zero. They're more likely to say yes and make it a real run.
Thank you so much for calling, Lisa. Really appreciate it. And thank you so very much for listening. Pat is going to stay with us for the rest of the hour. You can always join us as well if you want to call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Party.
Thank you, Greg Bach. When we come back from the news, boy, that was a short honeymoon. Well, it wasn't even really a honeymoon. Mike Johnson, they're not happy with him either. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
WRJN. Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More people than ever have a job in Wisconsin. State officials are out with their final numbers for December. Department of Workforce Development Chief Economist Dennis Winter.
If you add jobs and pay people, they'll consume more, and consumption drives the U.S. economy. So that feed loop, positive feedback loop keeps circling on itself. We're going to continue to see economic gains and workforce gains.
Wisconsin added more than 2,200 jobs in December. The jobless rate in Wisconsin is a near-record low, 3.3%. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits Big Bend on Monday. That's according to a release put out by the White House Thursday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRJN News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A trial date has been set for Crystal Kaiser. She's the Milwaukee woman accused of killing a Kenosha man in 2018, a man that was under investigation for sex trafficking. The trial is scheduled for June 10th and is expected to last about 2 weeks. Kaiser, who was 17 at the time of the incident, faces a homicide charge for the death of Randy Volar and could potentially get a life sentence if convicted of homicide. There's another trial starting soon for Daryl Brooks. This week, a judge set a date for the trial related to charges for allegedly running over his child's mother. It's alleged he used the same SUV in that attack that he used to kill six people during the Waukesha Christmas parade. The Milwaukee County trial is set for May. Brooks is currently serving six life sentences for the 2021 parade attack. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WRJN News.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Wisconsin battles the Hoosiers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the 11th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers host the Indiana Hoosiers at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin remains at the top of the Big Ten with a record of 13-4, 5-1 in the conference. After losing to Penn State, head coach Greg Gard.
We've grown a lot. We took on the schedule we did because we had an experienced team that we felt not only could handle it, but needed to be challenged.
NFL, it's the Packers and the 49ers. Saturday night in the divisional playoffs, Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, it's a great challenge for us. They're a really good defense. They got a really good offense as well, so they're a great team all around.
The 49ers' Nick Bosa comparing Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers.
A quarterback who does exactly what he's coached to do, which Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer and unbelievable, but he kind of went outside of the realm of coaching, and sometimes it's good when you have a guy who does what he's supposed to do.
That's 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WRJN.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cloudy and cold. Highs today hit near 15 degrees, but feel more like zero, with winds whipping up to 25 miles per hour. This could fling a few flurries our way tonight, as temperatures crash to near zero. But tomorrow morning, it'll be feeling more like 15 below. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Oh!
welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, the hilarious Greg Bach, and our colleague from Up North News, Wisconsin, Pat Kreitlow, all coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY or leave a message on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Coming up at 11 o'clock, another colleague going to be joining us live in studio, the incomparable Maggie Dawn, who has a show from 6 to 7 across the Civic Media Network at night.
Jane, this is like Jane Matt Nair and the Civic Media All-Stars.
The just Civic Stars.
And yeah. Her stable of Civic Media All-Stars.
I know. I got to spend a lot of time with Todd Alba yesterday in Milwaukee at that education conference.
That was a great show, by the way.
Yeah.
He did a fantastic job. It was nice to just kind of tag along on that, hear all kinds of wonderful remarks from people across education circles who are big fans of all the Civic Media shows. It was very nice.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Unsolicited praise is always a lovely thing.
Oh, for all of us. Greg, you've been called funny at 10:06. You were called hilarious at 10:34. I don't know how we just can't keep building this up.
Just call me for dinner, Pat. That's all I ask.
Okay. That's all you get.
The reason Maggie's going to be joining us, I want to do a segment called So You Want to Be a Lawyer. I've been watching and reading about quite a few court proceedings involving the former president, and Alina Haba is one of his lawyers who has been with him for his defamation case against E. Jean Carroll in New York City. And this, I've thought about this many, many times over the years, and I have no doubt that becoming a lawyer is a very difficult thing, and you need to have certain skills or a brain that works a certain way. But then I see someone like Ms. Haba and some of our other senators in Washington who are lawyers. And I have to think, God, is it really that hard? If these people can pass the bar exam, how hard can it be?
It's they used to joke when my wife was attending the Medical College of Wisconsin here in Tulsa many years ago. What do they call the person who graduates at the bottom of their med school class? Doctor. Still a doctor.
It's still a doctor.
But somebody graduates last in that class when it happens. And same with lawyers. I mean, they're not all Elwood from Legally Blonde, but, you know, they're also not all Supreme Court justices.
Solid reference.
Thank yes, you.
Sometimes I just sit there with my mouth agape when I'm reading or watching this. It's like, how is
this
possible?
Well, think how many he has gone through. How many lawyers who at some point thought this was going to be good for their career or that it was going to enrich them, and then they realize he doesn't pay his bills. And after all these years and all these attorneys, I mean, when I hear her sometimes, I can't hear her over the scraping of the bottom of the barrel.
Well, if you have questions, and I mean this quite sincerely, if you want to ask about Maggie a question, you're thinking about considering law, I think she is a wonderful, wonderful resource. So, and Maggie Dawn will be here starting at 11:06 right now. Again, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio is my guest until 11 o'clock. And we're going to talk about Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Nothing is going to be easy for him ever.
Well, nor should it be. Here's somebody who, again, was a bit of an opportunist saying that, look, I don't have the baggage of people who are better known. And so he became this consensus choice, in part because people said, well, he is so far to the right that he will bring Joe Biden and the Senate Democrats to heel, when that's not how it was ever going to work in split government. House Republicans, especially the furthest to the right Republicans, seemed to think that they could just threaten and blackmail everybody else into submission rather than doing what all the rest of us have to do at work when we don't agree with things.
Yes.
We compromise. We have conversations. We negotiate. And the my way or the highway thing doesn't work most of the time. And that's what Mike Johnson's learning as well.
Yeah. Congress did pass a short-term funding extension yesterday, avoiding, at least for now, a government shutdown at the end of the week. The bill now goes on to President Biden to sign it. The Senate voted first to pass it 77-18, then the House passed the bill later in the day, 314-108. But as you said, now the House Freedom Caucus is not happy with Mr. Johnson.
They're not, because, again, in this bill, the Republicans split down the middle. Something like 107 Republicans voted for it and 106 Republicans voted against it, or vice versa, meaning that the Republicans have run the House for all of this year, all of 2023, I should say, into 2024, and they can't pass anything without Democratic votes. They can't do anything on their own because they are not one united caucus. They are that ineffective, and yet they still want to turn on each other and depose speakers and continue kicking the can down the road on the budget and have literally nothing to show for it. As you hear, Chip Roy from Texas has made that point repeatedly the floor, saying, we've done nothing. Like, yeah, you're right. Because you don't want to act like grownups.
Well, and they keep writing these ads for the Democratic Party to use.
Do. Yep.
And we did a segment on this a couple of weeks ago. They are the least productive House in history.
They have done nothing and yet continue to collect a paycheck for that honor.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, if you would like to call in and or text. Cindy from Appleton joining us. Good morning, Cindy. What do you think about this?
Well, I have a few comments. Not only do they not do anything, but they're getting free lapel pins on top of it all.
Yes.
Anyway.
Solid reference, Cindy.
I am wondering if Mike Johnson and Ron Johnson are related, because the two of them are just two idiot peep in a pod. And I guess my question is, if they're going to just do the short-term budget fix every couple of months, I'm wondering if the Republicans aren't playing this out so that as we get closer to November election, they actually just let the government shut down so that it looks bad to Biden.
I don't think that that's the way they're going to go, because, again, every shutdown has always blown up in the Republicans' face, like Wile E. Coyote in a Roadrunner cartoon.
Yep.
And it would call even more attention to it if it happens during an election year. I think that's why you're hearing so much screaming from the no voters. They realize this might have been the last best chance they had to try to extract concessions from Biden and the Democrats, because they know as we get closer to the election, the stage gets bigger, the stakes get higher, and there gets to be more blame for shutting down the government. But they want to do these extreme things with the border and with immigration, and they know they can't do that. They don't have the votes for it. There are the votes there in the Senate right now for some substantive border control.
Yes.
And Ukraine.
Yes.
But Ron Johnson, Mike Johnson, and others are saying, "Yet, I mean, no, they're not. They're not. They're not echoing Putin talking points at all. No,
solid reference, Pat.
Thank you. And so they want so badly to have something without being able to do the work through negotiation and give and take to get things done. They have been handed the opportunity for a win-win on this budget and on border and on Ukraine aid, but they won't take yes for an answer. Because they want to use the threat of a shutdown, they want to use the threat of scaring people about immigration as political fodder in an election year.
Thank you so much for calling, Cindy, and thank you, as always, for listening. We really, really appreciate it. If you ever want to check in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. So what about our Wisconsin Republicans? Wisconsin Democrats Mark Pocan and Gwen Moore, among the 207 House Democrats who helped get this CRT through. Just 107 Republicans supported it. And I believe, Mike Gallagher, Tom Tiffany, the only Wisconsin House Republicans in November who opposed the short-term extension. At the time, Tiffany said it's the status quo. Gallagher said Thursday, kicking the can even further down the road and then recessing for another week does nothing but reward bad behavior. Wow, I agree.
So all six Republicans wanted the government to shut down this week is essentially what they're saying. Why? Because why am I saying it that way? Because they've offered nothing substantive that could get agreement by Senate Democrats and President Biden. They're sitting here making an issue of the border.
Yes.
But until you're actually willing to do something that could pass all three groups, then you're doing nothing but bloviating and trying to scare voters. And that's what these six are doing right now by not supporting at least something short term that keeps government open and continuing to harp on an issue that you won't do anything about. And let's not forget this. Border and immigration issues were around before Joe Biden. This didn't all happen on day one of the Biden administration.
No.
We've had years, frankly, decades to do something. And so to try to put it on President Biden is you're asking us to believe that we've all forgotten that you've all done a big bunch of nothing during the Trump presidency and all the administrations before that.
Let's see. When Donald Trump was initially elected, they had all three branches, correct?
They did.
For the first two years.
Had 2 years to do all kinds of things. And the only substantive thing they did was a tax cut skewed toward millionaires and billionaires that blew a $2 trillion hole in the deficit. That was the one substantive thing that they did. There was jokes about Infrastructure Week. There was promises of a big, beautiful health care plan. But in those 2 years, nothing else came of it.
And a big, beautiful wall.
A big, beautiful wall.
Which Mexico is going to pay for
it. And Mexico's going to pay for it. And no, that none of that happened.
I have a theme song for the wall, by the way. Here we go.
Real quickly, Greg Bach, do we have that clip from Representative Eric Swalwell?
It didn't load up. I'm trying to load it right now. So
Eric Swalwell essentially saying to yesterday, Pat, that they don't want a fix to immigration. They want the fiction.
They don't want the fiction.
They want this issue to run on to make the Biden administration look bad.
I liked that. They don't want a fix. They want fiction.
They want fiction. Yeah. And they want to get on Fox.
Mm-hmm. And they try so hard to paint with a broad brush that Biden and Democrats want open borders and they don't want to solve. No, actually, they want to solve this too. But it's got to be comprehensive immigration reform, not just building a wall for the sake of building a wall. They want, and again, there have been policies for we go back 10 years now when they're during the Obama administration. There was such a plan that got 68 votes in the Senate. 68.
Wow.
But the Republicans in the House wouldn't bring it up for a vote. And that's where we've been for these past 10, 11 years, is Republicans unwilling to bring up anything that might actually solve the problem.
Well, because, again, we can't give the other side a win.
Correct.
And that's got to stop. Well, that really should stop. Come on, you guys. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be governing for all of us.
Supposed to be leaders. And there's no actual leader on the Republican side right now. There's certainly no leader in the House, and Mitch McConnell is not a leader so much as an obstructionist and strategist. They need a leader of ideas.
And it's also just indicative of and I've always believed that being a member of Congress isn't the easiest gig in the world, because why would they fight so hard to keep it? However, the one exception would be the Speaker of the House,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're a Republican, because we can go back to John Boehner. I know, but say what you will. It never turns out well.
No.
It doesn't seem to turn out well.
No.
And yet,
from Newt Gingrich onward, with that change in tone, that much more confrontational tone, as opposed to what can we actually get done between ourselves? You know, it's been a my way or the highway thing ever since, and it has never served them well.
And yet, shockingly, a woman, Nancy Pelosi,
got more done.
Was able to get actual things accomplished.
And the rest of them combined.
It's shocking.
Oh, yeah, prove it.
All right, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, along with Pat Kreitlow and Greg Bach, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now my answer is thank you, but no. Look, I've barely begun, I'm hardly through. I was living in ignorant bliss, till I learned I could be more than this. And you know, in a way, I owe it all to you. I thought losing your love was a blow I could never withstand. But look how far I have come without anyone holding my hand. I had to find my way. The day you broke my heart, you handed me the chance to make a brand.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 8 to 10 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, our colleague Pat Quitelow, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, you can send a pigeon. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Maggie Dawn is going to be joining us at 11:06 for a segment we're going to call So You Want to Be a Lawyer. How hard is it? How do you start? Something that I've thought about. Yeah, I'm 64. Let's go back to law school.
Hey, why not?
Oh, I'd watch that show.
A remake of The Paper Chase.
Yeah, me falling asleep in class is probably what it would be. But anyway, we were talking about the continuing dysfunction in the House of Representatives in our fair U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. And Mike Johnson, knives are out already. He passed a temporary spending resolution, and so now everybody is angry. We were also talking, Pat, before the break, just about Republicans are using the issue of immigration and yet are unwilling to do anything to actually solve it.
Right.
Because they want it as an issue. It's useful.
And it is an issue that has been crying out for a solution, especially here in Wisconsin, where we have labor shortages, where we have, an agriculture industry that would wither up and die.
Yes.
And that was one of the things that shocked and disappointed me most about the exit polling in the Iowa caucuses this week, is that for the people who supported Trump, it was either for the Trump supporters or Republicans overall, immigration was their first or second most important issue. And yet they, too, know the Iowa economy would shrivel up and die if you tried to round everybody up. And yet that's where their focus is on, because they have been essentially trained through right-wing talk radio and politicians talking ceaselessly, trying to scare people that all these, you know, dark-skinned folks are coming up and taking your jobs when we need legal immigration more than ever.
Absolutely.
To fill these jobs, to build this economy, and to give these people shelter, safety, and a chance to raise a family, the same as was done when our great-great-grandparents came over, and people looked down their nose at them too, but at least gave them a little elbow room to start a new life and prove their worth.
And it's interesting that you say that, Pat, because I think, especially you and I are of an age where we remember this, but I think for younger folks, trust me, when the Irish started coming over, they were not welcome.
No.
The Italians were not welcome.
Right.
In times of war, the Germans were not welcome.
Seriously. Right? I mean, it just makes my skin crawl, this whole poisoning the blood of our country.
Oh, my gosh.
It's horrifying.
It's the only thing I can say that might be somewhat beneficial is that we're no longer hesitating to use the word racist when something comes out like that. If you're talking about poisoning the blood, that's racism. Call it for what it is. It's just straight up racism. And people, there used to be this knee-jerk reaction, this gag reflex, like, oh, you can't call me that. Well, if that's the kind of language you're using, it either is you're you're either racist or you're really okay with a degree of racism in our policy here, because you're not basing your position on anything other than these ugly tropes that were brought up in Nazism and other ugly places since then.
Guess what, Pat? Still makes you racist.
Yes, exactly.
Again, going back to the immigration issue and how the Republicans like to use this as a weapon and not actually use it for anything useful, here is Representative Eric Swalwell talking yesterday in the House about this issue.
Just recently on CNN, Jake Tapper asked Speaker Johnson, look, President Biden wants to give you more money at the border. Would you take that? And Speaker Johnson said no. Again, just revealing and saying out loud what we all know, which is that they don't want to solve this problem. They want to use it and exploit it, and exploit victims so they have a political narrative. Senate negotiations are taking place right now where, in good faith, Democrats and Republicans are working to try and find more solutions and more resources at the border. And that is dead on arrival here, where Republican colleagues have said out loud, we're never going to support that. That would help the president. They've actually said that. My Democratic colleagues want the fix. MAGA Republicans want the fiction. My Democratic colleagues want the fix. My MAGA colleagues want Fox.
I don't think that's Representative Eric Swalwell. I don't think he's wrong.
No, doing his best channeling of Jesse Jackson with some of his wordplay there. But I want to pick up on one thing he said. He talked about people who are negotiating in good faith. And I do want to say that for all the negative things we've said about people who are frankly just clowns or showing an ugly side of themselves, I just want to remind people that when I served in the legislature and the people I've covered in the legislature and Congress and people I see in Congress today, there are really good people in there. There are good Republicans in there.
Yes.
You know, not nearly as many as I'd like there to be. There are really good Democrats. There's also Democrats. I used to get asked all the time in the legislature, you know, do you guys fight all the time with, you know, across the party line? And I'm like, no, there's a couple of fellow Democrats I'd push in front of a bus before some of the Republicans because they're nicer people and I can work with them. There are good people in there. We just need to be mindful of who they are and encourage the good ones. And they're not always winning these policy fights, but they're trying. And the day that we assume everybody is bad and everybody is a clown, then we just start circling the drain at that point.
You make an excellent, excellent point, Pat. And the people who are actually trying to do the work and I think trying to compromise are not the folks who are getting all the attention and getting the spotlight on them and appearing on all the TV shows. They're actually, as you said, there are good Republicans. There are good Democrats. There are bad in both.
There will be good bipartisan things that get passed again. It's just that in the meantime, they have to put up with a lot of slings and arrows from people who don't trust them from the other side of the aisle and people on their own side of the aisle who might be a little bit further to the extreme who are trying to undercut them and saying, oh, well, you're not progressive enough or Sure. You're not conservative enough. I don't envy them, but I do admire them and want to remind people that they exist.
Well, and if we get new maps, could be a whole bunch of different new opportunities for people who are interested in running. This hour has gone so quickly. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. You can hear him right here on Civic Media every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. doing the early shift. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Jane, so much. This was wonderful.
After the news, Maggie Dawn will be here. So you'll want to be a lawyer. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
A bunch of clowns you voted in. Election day is coming round again. If you don't like it now, if it's more than you'll allow, if you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is Don Rosen. Come join me for local news, weather, sports, and some good morning fun as well. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. WRJN Hometown Radio Refreshed.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
WRJN. Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.